صلى الله عليك يا رسول الله، صلى الله عليك يا سيدي ويا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، غريب يا مظلوم كربلاء، ما خاب من تمسك بكم وأمنا من لجأ إليكم. يا ليتنا فيا ليتنا كنا معكم سيدي فنفوز والله فوزا عظيما. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك، عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته. It is narrated that Rayyan ibn Shabib, who was one of the companions of Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, he reports the following interaction with the eighth Imam. He says that I was with Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha alayhi salam, and the Imam said to me, Yabna Shabib, in kunta bakiya li shay fabki lil Husayn. O son of Shabib, if you want to cry over something, then cry for Husayn. And then Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, he explains why. If you have any tears, save your tears for Imam al-Husayn. What's the reason? فَإِنَّهُ ذُبِحَ كَمَا يُذْبَحُ الْكَبْشِ. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, he says, because Imam al-Husayn was slaughtered the way that a kebsh is slaughtered, a way that a ram, a way that a sheep is slaughtered. What does Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam mean when he strikes this comparison between the slaughtering of Husayn and the slaughtering of a kebsh? Because the Imam, he says, فَإِنَّهُ ذُبِحَ كَمَا يُذْبَحُ الْكَبْشِ. There are three main similarities that we can see between the slaughtering of a kebsh and the slaughter of Imam al-Husayn. Number one is that typically people, they slaughter sheep and they slaughter rams on festive occasions. The slaughtering of a sheep usually marks a celebration. We slaughter, for example, on the day of Eid. You slaughter a kebsh when you are hosting, for example, an honorable guest. It is usually associated with a celebratory atmosphere. When you look at the slaughter of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, after Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam was slaughtered, they were laughing and dancing and celebrating. This is what Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam points to in Ziyarat Ashura. هذا يوم تبركت. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, he says, one similarity is that just as the slaughtering of A kebsh is a for it's surrounded by an atmosphere of festivity. These wicked people, they were celebrating the slaughter of Imam al-Hussein. This is number one. Number two, what you find is a second similarity that we see between the slaughtering of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and the slaughtering of a kebsh is that there are some animals whose slaughter is unacceptable to people. If a person today, for example, slaughters a dog or they slaughter a cat, or they slaughter any type of animal that society deems to be precious. What will happen if someone slaughters their dog? All of these animal rights organizations, they will come out and they will issue statements of condemnation. People will protest. They will oppose. But if someone slaughters a sheep, there are some animals that society has accepted that these are animals that are for food and therefore you can slaughter them. And therefore, generally speaking, society is not going to protest the slaughter of a sheep. Because a sheep is meant to be slaughtered for food, to take advantage of what it has to offer in terms of nutrition. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, he says similarly, when Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was slaughtered, no one was protesting. They acted as if the blood of Imam al-Hussein was mubah. It was okay. That's why Sayyidah Zainab alayhi salam, she was in shock when she saw these people. Everyone was okay with the slaughtering of Imam al-Hussein. That's why she says, "Ama fikum Muslim? Is there not a single Muslim among you?" Imagine this world, brothers and sisters, that if a cat is slaughtered, everyone will be up in arms. But when the grandson of Rasulullah is slaughtered, no one bats an eyelash. This is a second similarity. When Imam al-Ridha says, فَإِنَّهُ ذُبِحَ كَمَا يُذْبَحُ الْكَبْشُ, this is the second reason. No one protests the slaughter of a sheep, and no one protested the slaughter of Hussein. And number three, when you slaughter a sheep, people typically try to take, everyone wants a piece of that sheep. You might have some people, they say, I want the head, I want the shoulder, I want the thigh, I want the tongue. When you slaughter a sheep, everyone extends their hands to take a piece of that sheep, to take a piece of that kebsh. Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, he says that Imam al-Hussein was slaughtered the way that a sheep was slaughtered. Meaning that after the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, they didn't even just leave his body there. One came and took his imama. The other came and took his abaya. One came and took his shirt. The other took his trousers. There was one man who came and wanted to take the ring of Imam al-Hussein. He came to the body of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein and he was trying to remove the ring. He was not able to take the ring off of the finger of Imam al-Hussein. So what does he do? He takes a dagger and he cuts off the finger of Imam al-Hussein. He takes a dagger and he cuts off the finger of Imam al-Hussein. Can you imagine these types of people? So when Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, he says,
إن كنت باكيا لشيء فابكي للحسين فإنه ذبح كما يذبح الكبش.
When you look at what happened to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam on the day of Ashura, Imam al-Hussein would have died just of loss of blood. If they just left him, he would have died.
But the animosity that these people had for the family of the Prophet,
they had to separate his head from his body. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says that there were so many wounds on the body of Imam al-Hussein. He says, فَجَاءَتِ الطَّعْنَةُ فَوْقَ الطَّعْنَةِ, that when people would stab Imam al-Hussein, they were stabbing an already existing wound. They didn't leave Imam al-Hussein. They didn't leave him. In fact, what you see if you go to Karbala today, there is an area in the haram of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam called Al-Madhbah al-Muqaddas. You go into the haram and there's this area. It's a small darih and there's a red light inside. Al-Madhbah al-Muqaddas. And this is where Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was slaughtered, in that place. But you look and you realize and you notice that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is not buried there. He's buried several meters away from where he was decapitated. Now you may ask, why? Why was Imam al-Hussein buried further away? It's because when the horses trampled his body, the body of Imam al-Hussein was flung. This is what happened to Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. After the heads were separated from the bodies, Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad, he sent a message to Umar ibn Sa'ad saying that he wants the body of Imam al-Hussein to be trampled. And Umar ibn Sa'ad, he calls out to his men, I need 10 volunteers. I need 10 volunteers to trample and crush the body of Imam al-Hussein. 10 men come forward. They're on their horses. Umar ibn Sa'd gives them the signal and they're charging towards the body of Imam al-Hussein. And what does Umar ibn Sa'd say? He says, Ya khayl Allahi irkabi wa bil jannati abshiri. He says to them, O horsemen of God, charge forward and have the glad tidings of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. Imagine these people, brothers and sisters. The narrations say that when they trampled the bodies, Imam al-Sajjad was in the tent. And he could hear the breaking of the ribs of Abu Abdullah. I don't know what is more difficult for the heart of Sahib al-Zaman. What ribs were more difficult for him to bear? Was it the breakings of the rib of Fatima or the breaking of the rib of Aba Abdullah? Did they stop there? The army of Umar ibn Sa'd did not even stop with what they did to the men. After they severed the heads of the martyrs, after the body of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was trampled, they directed their attention to the tents, to the women, to the children. A crier called out from the side of Umar ibn Sa'ad, أحرقوا بيوت الظالمين. Set fire to the tents of the oppressors. What tents are these? These are the tents of Sayyidah Zaina. These are the tents of Sukaina, Kulthum. And again, I don't know what is more difficult for Sahib al-Zaman? Was it the burning of the tents of Zainab or the burning of the door of Fatima? Sa'ad Allah qalbaka ya Sahib al-Zaman. As they go and they set fire to the tents, Hamid ibn Muslim, who was one of the correspondents on the day of Ashura, he was recording the events of that day. He was not on the side of Umar ibn Sa'd and he was not on the side of Imam al-Husayn. He was just recording the events of that day. He says, when fire was set to the tents of the women and the children, I saw panic. I saw women and children running frantically from side to side, completely terrified. They have no male protectors. Abul Fadl al-Abbas is not with them anymore. There is no Ali ibn al-Akbar. None of the men are there. Sayyida Zainab alayhi salam is trying to monitor the children and protect the children, and she's also trying to protect Zainul Abideen. Hamid ibn Muslim, he says, there was one little girl that caught my eye. He says, when the tents were set on fire and ignited, قال رأيت صبية تتراكض في البيداء وقد تعلقت النيران في ثيابها. He says, when the tents were ignited, I saw a little girl emerge from the camp of Hussein. She was running through the desert. The fire had caught her dress. Her dress was on fire. He says, when I saw this little girl running alone, petrified, terrified, her dress was caught on fire, I went to go and try to help her. قَالَ دَنَوْتُ مِنْهَا لِأُطْفِئَ النَّارِ. He says, I went to her to help her extinguish the fire on her dress. قَالَ دَنَوْتُ مِنْهَا. When she saw me, he said, ارْتَعَدَتْ فَرَائِصُهَا وَخَافَتْ. He said, when I came near her and she looked at me, she was completely terrified of me. She asked me, أَنْتَ لَنَا أَمْ عَلَيْنَا. She asked me, are you with us or are you against us? He said to her, لَا لَكُمْ وَلَا عَلَيْكُمْ. I'm not with you nor am I against you. She said to him, يَا هَذَا. He asks her, who are you? He says to her, she says to him, يَا هَذَا هَلْ قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنِ. She says, oh man, have you read the Qur'an? He says, yes, I've read the Qur'an. She says to him, have you read the ayah of the Qur'an? فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. Have you read the ayah of the Qur'an that says, and do not reproach and do not hurt the orphan? He said to her, you're an orphan. Whose orphan are you? قَالَتْ أَنَا يَتِيمَةُ أَبِي عَبْدِ اللَّهِ الْحُسَيْنِ. She said, I am the orphan daughter of Imam al-Husayn. He said to her, how can I help you? Can you allow me to assist you? She says to him, I want you to take me to Al-Ghari. I want you to take me to the land of Najaf. He says, what do you have in Najaf? Najaf is too far. She says to him, أخبرتني عمتي زينب. My aunt Zainab informed me that I have a grandfather in Najaf. I have a grandfather there, Amir al-Mu'mineen. ما أتاه مكروب ولا طالب حاجة إلا وقضى الله حاجته. She told me that whoever goes there with a haja, Allah will grant him his haja. He says, I cannot take you to Najaf, it's too far. Is there anywhere else that you want me to take you, oh little girl? She says to him, خذني إلى شط الفرات. She says, take me to the bank of the Euphrates. He says, I took this girl. I was walking with her. I was leading her to the Euphrates. He says, I thought to myself that she's surely thirsty. She wants to go to the Euphrates to drink water. It's been a long time since she's had water. He says, as we approach the Euphrates, she started to run, but she did not run towards the water. She ran towards a body without any arms. She threw herself on that body without any arms. She cried out, Ya Am, Ya Abul Fadl. Oh Abbas, rise up and see what they are doing to us. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein, Ya Hussein.